Morning, if you will, go ahead and get your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 3. We'll pick up there in a few moments. The last few sermons, I've been speaking on some parables from our Lord, and this morning I'm going to be speaking on another parable from our Lord. The house or kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And we're going to be speaking on that this morning, looking at here what our Lord has spoken. I think Nathan ought to go for reading Matthew there's account. And now we're going to read here Mark's account. Mark chapter 3, there in verse 22. If y'all will, let's go ahead and read along with me. Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 22. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house." Here we have this Jesus parable here. Jesus is using here, teaching them here, as they have realizing Jesus here cast out demons. They realize that cannot be defeated. And so here, when the scribes here have seen this, now they are saying here, the Pharisees here, they admitted that Jesus has cast out demons, but they charged that he did so by the power here of Beelzebub. Because they could not deny here Jesus has been casting out demons and has cast out demons. And so now they are saying that he is doing it by the power of Beelzebub. Jesus now here in this parable, he's met their charge here by affirming a time-tested principle that a kingdom or a house divided against itself cannot stand. It's the point he's making here. We all understand that. If a house is divided, if a kingdom is divided, it will not stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. He's making that point to them here, as we just read there from Mark. But Jesus here has made the statement in answer to the Pharisees here to help them here, to rebuke here what they have said. And the application here he's making to them, a house divided against itself cannot stand. This goes a little bit farther here than even Satan's kingdom here. Jesus here is affirming to them as well that he is stronger than Satan is. He is making that clear to them here. And he is able to bind him and spoil his goods there. So we just read there. Look back again with me in Matthew chapter 3. He says there at the very end of what I just read, he says no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Here he's making to them to understand here. They understand Satan. This is something that they all understood. They understand Satan's his power that he had. They knew of the demons and things. They seen the power that Satan has had over them. But yet he's trying to get them to understand that Christ's power, his power is far greater. Even as a strong man as they see here, as in Satan here in his house here, for him to come in and do that, and what he's doing is pulling the devil's house, casting out these demons, that he had to first bind that strong man and then he can plunder his house. He's letting them know Satan himself has this much power, but yet he is far greater. He was able to bind him, able to plunder his things. He has that authority. He's making that point to them. He's wanting them to understand. They understood here that Satan's house here, it is of the lower earth here. That is the things that he has been dealing with. He exercised controls over the hearts of men. But you think about those things. You think about what the devil here had the control of. Satan here himself had control of these things. They seen the power of him. And you think about the human heart even today, maybe it's the battlefield between Christ here and Satan. The eternal destiny of a man's soul depends upon who is controlling his heart and his life, whether it's Jesus or Satan. And that all has to do with us. Jesus has made it possible. He has made it possible. He has the great power. He has shown His power that we ourselves have that choice now. We can choose to have Christ in our life, in our hearts, and live for Him and overcome that power of the devil, because Jesus has defeated the devil. He has that power to help us in these things. We need to understand one of the things we're going to look at this morning. As is brought out, the first point, the devil's kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. But we need to also understand that the church divided against itself, it cannot stand. We're going to look at division within the church. It is a sin, and it is condemned. We're going to look at some causes of division. We're going to look at the fruits of division. We're going to look at the remedy for division. And the basis here for having the unity that we are commanded to have as a church. So here looking at the devil's kingdom divided against itself and how it cannot stand. The devil's kingdom here, as the Lord has pointed out, his kingdom stands in direct opposition to the kingdom of God. And Jesus is making that point to them here. If Jesus here is part of one of the ministers here of Satan, if you will, then why would he be doing the things he's doing and by plundering his goods, destroying those things that he is out there working for? He's letting them know that that cannot be. His kingdom is a kingdom of anarchy. Talking about the devil's here. Kingdom of anarchy, of conflict, of hate, of all these things that we see in the world, the strife and all these things that's out there of just pure evil. That is the devil's kingdom here. And you think about if some of the workers, as Jesus is pointing out, of his kingdom here, if they commence to promote true righteousness, as Christ here is doing, if they choose to promote those things, his kingdom would become divided and in such a state that his kingdom could not stand. So Jesus is letting them know this. They had to clearly know this and understand here that they could not be doing and promoting the true righteousness that Christ is doing and claim that he was a worker here of Beelzebub, that it could not stand. They understood this. Christ made that point very clear to them that it cannot be. So when we think about these things, as we look here at the point here that Christ here is making, we need to think about this. How a kingdom divided against itself, how a house that is divided against itself, how it cannot stand. We understand that. We understand that maybe in our own homes. If the husband or wife is divided against themselves, then that house is not going to stand. It will not last. We understand even in the kingdom, and then you think about even in our nation today, once our nation has become divided, it will not last long. It will not stand. And we are in a sad state now to see that, what we're looking at now. Our kingdom is no longer, our nation that we live in no longer is standing that way. But we need to more or less be worrying about the church itself. We need to be worrying about the Lord's work and the church that we ourselves are trying to be the Lord's church, and we understand that we have to be in unity. There's a reason for this. Because a church divided against itself cannot stand. We look at the work of the church here. We're going to look, you know, we'll turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at the work of the church and how it was hindered at Corinth because of this. Divisions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there, starting in verse 10, says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Here we see a problem here at Corinth that's having to be dealt with. We see them having this division. We see them being divided on issues here that they should not be divided on. It was hindering here the work here at Corinth. And it was condemned here. He is pleading with them, he says, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among them, that they be perfectly joined together in that same mind and in the same judgment. We can understand if we was all out there in the world, we going out and doing our thing in the world and we're spreading the gospel. And Nathan is saying one thing, I'm saying another thing, Mike is saying something, Luke's saying something, and we're all just saying different gospels, preaching different things, that people would think we were just crazy. That house, we would not be able to stand here. And we're seeing that's what's happened with the so-called Christian world today. There's so many different gospels out there that so many people are so confused out in the world, they don't want nothing to do with none of it. We understand that we ourselves here as the Lord's church, we cannot have this division in us. Looking on there to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to be spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? We are not to behave like mere men. We are not to behave like the world. There is total divisions, there is strife, there's contentions, all these things are out in the world, but these things cannot and must not be in the Lord's church. Because if it is, then it will not stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Looking here at the problems here at Corinth, the things that they had, the divisions they had, things that had to be dealt with. There in 1 Corinthians 11, there in verse 20, therefore when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. More problems, more things, because they were not doing the same things and are not having the attitude that they should have towards the Lord here. It says that when they come together in one place, it was not to eat the Lord's Supper, because when they were coming together and eating, one would take his supper ahead of others, and one was hungry and another is drunk. They are not coming together as they should, and because of these things, it is hindering the work here of the Lord. They was mistreating the Lord's Supper. We understand the work of any congregation is going to be hindered when the congregation is divided. We cannot be divided. And the cause of Christ is hindered even when other congregations are divided against each other. You think about churches of Christ even having against herself, having these problems back and forth with one another can cause problems out there that the world sees as well. We cannot have these divisions, these types of things back within the Lord's church. Because the division within the church, as we understand, is a sin. You'll look with me there in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. John 17 and verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Christ wanted us to be one. He's telling, he's praying here to the Father. He wants us to be one, just as Him and the Father are one. Think about Christ here being one with the Father. When He is speaking to them, we tried to show them these things here on earth. Christ wanted them to understand that He was doing the will of the Father. Him and His Father are one because they are doing the same work. And Christ did not speak nothing of His own except those things that the Father has sent Him to do and to speak, that His Father had given Him. We are to do nothing on our own. We are to do those things which Christ has given us. We speak those things which have been given to us. We speak from God's Word. We do those things in oneness. And when we do that, we are becoming one with them. And that is what Christ wants from us. Also in John 10, verse 16. John 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. We are supposed to be one flock with our one shepherd, that one true shepherd, which is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But we are to be one flock, not multiple flocks. We understand that it is a sin if we are and we have division amongst us. We have to speak the same thing. We have to do those things which has been given to us. As we just read there in 1 Corinthians, those things, how it was wrong of them to have that division amongst them. And there in Philippians as well. We've done seen where Paul has told the church of Corinth, but also as he's telling them there, church of Philippi there in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. How can we all be of the same mind? We're all different people. We all maybe have different opinions about things, how to do things outside or in the world, and maybe jobs, whatever. But when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to the gospel that has been given to us, we are to be of the same mind. And that same mind is because we all are to have that same mind that of Christ had. We don't have our own mind, our own little opinions of things when it comes to the Lord, work of the Lord. We all have to be of the same mind. And that mind is that mind that was in Christ Jesus, His Word that has been given to us. So when it comes down to those things, we cannot have division among us here in these things. You think about the cause of division then. Well, we can name multiple things that cause divisions. We're going to look at a few things here that we see in Scripture that definitely we're told. Look there with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But definitely love for ourselves. Someone who's thinks upon herself more than they do anything else. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 there, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. These are here he's talking about there in verse 1. He says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And this is what the men here will think on. Men will be lovers of themselves. Definitely this could be a very thing here that's going to cause divisions. When men become lovers of themselves, become so self-indulged that they're worried about nobody else but themselves. And this definitely will cause divisions. Even on personal matters, selfish ambitions, it don't matter. These things are going to cause a lot of trouble when we have that type of mindset in ourselves. We got to be careful that we are not lovers of ourselves. We got to learn to become more selfless every day. We got to learn, as the Scriptures teach us, to put other people's needs ahead of our own. We got to learn to become servants as our Lord. When our Lord willingly laid down His life for us, He came to this earth to be a humble, lowly servant. And He went through the things He went through. He showed us, not only by His words and things He has given us, but He has showed us by His example on the type of servant that we should be. And when we look at our Lord, we see that perfect, humble, lowly servant. One who did not come to serve, but to serve. Also, love for popularity. That's what men, a lot of men have this type of thing. They want popularity. A lot of preachers today that we see, a lot of people preach things that's going to make them popular. They want to tickle people's ears to make themselves be widely accepted. They don't want to hurt nobody. They don't want nobody's feelings getting hurt when we leave here. When we're up here as men, as preaching the Word of God, we shouldn't be worrying about things that I might say to hurt somebody, because we should be preaching from God's Word. If we say something or preach something that's hurting somebody's feelings or something, it's because God's Word has cut them. It ain't because Philip has brought something up that has cut them. No, it's because God's Word has cut And God's Word should be cutting us deep. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it should be pricking us. It should be rebuking us and correcting us to strive to be who God would have us to be. You look where we're in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, there in verse 42, starting. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. If we're going to cause divisions, and this right here will be another one that can cause great divisions, when we quit speaking God's word because we're worried about we might offend someone. If we ever step out of God's word, then we are going to have divisions amongst us. We cannot be worried about what men say and worrying about having praise of men. We should be worrying about pleasing our Lord. Some of them may have love for false teachers. Look there back in 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You have many who, they love the false teachers. They want those things. 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work. We got to be careful. We know that there are false teachers out there. But it's a shame when we see children of God start loving that false teachers. Love it when someone else brings something in that we know is not quite right with God's word, but yet we like it. And it's a shame when we see that, that brethren would turn their ears to those things. And if we ever do that, then we have caused divisions. We got to have a love for the truth of the gospel. We got to be careful of the false teachers out there. But also, as many have today, and as many still I always will have the love for money. Love for money has destroyed many homes. It's also destroyed many works of the Lord because people are looking more for the money than they are for anything else. In 2 Peter, in chapter 2, there in verse 1, there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destruction heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Many people will follow their destructive ways, here it says, because of the way of the truth here to them has been blasphemed, turning from the truth. Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Romans 16 and 17 and 18 there. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Here's divisive people. Here's people who cause divisions. There is people out there who are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, it says, but they're serving their own belly. They're serving their own belly. And by their smooth words and their flattering speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. That causes divisions among the churches. And those things cannot be tolerated. They have to be cut off quickly. Because we cannot have division among us. We understand that strange doctrines are out there. We understand that we have to be careful of those things out there in the world. We have to be on guard to help protect the flock. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, in verse 10 there starting. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason God will send them strong delusions, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. These things we're looking at, those things can cause divisions. And we know what the fruits of division can cause. It causes men to depart from the faith. That's why it is very important that we make sure that we are of one mind and that where we are of the mind of Christ, as we should be. Because if not, we will help and will be part of the ones that cause men to depart from the faith. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 12, starting it says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." We don't want our love to grow cold. The fruits of division leave sinners estranged from God without knowledge to salvation. God has given us that one true gospel. We must hold firm to it. We know the divided homes, it causes grief. It wastes money, fruits of division. It does all these things. It causes so much heartache and problems. So what is the remedy then of division and the basis for unity? Well, we understand when we talk about us as the Lord's church, the only creed that we need to have is the Bible. Bringing that up because there's many doctors out there in the world, many different religions out there in the world that start up as so-called Christians. But yet, they don't go to God's Word to find out how they believe and how they teach on things. They go to their own creed that has been started by man. Those creeds are what they go to and say, "Well, this is what we believe. No, I worship here, so this is what I have to believe." We don't have no creed but the Bible. We got to use God's Word to be that guide for us, to help us. We do understand that all Scripture has been given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction into righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's God's Word who does that. No man's creed can do that. And we understand that we can have no church but the New Testament church. We understand the importance of that. There is many churches out there in the world. And many people today is, and many even well-known gospel preachers has been known to say, "Choose the church of your choice." Whenever in the Scripture do we ever see the Lord telling us, "Choose whatever church you choose, whatever you please." We see God's Word telling us exactly what He expects out of us, exactly what His church should be doing. And we understand, as we've been studying Revelation, that not all churches are approved of God. That we have to be continually obedient to God to be known and to be for Christ to be amongst us as His church. We can have no other church but His. We can have no plan of salvation but the Bible plan. You want to look for plan of salvations and look at these different creeds. Every one of them had different ways of salvation. They have different ways to obtain that salvation. And as even myself in my years growing up in the Southern Baptist, I've seen that doctrine even change. And they try to make it even easier and easier for men to obey that gospel. Because they want to see things grow, numbers to grow. They want to spread. They say, claim to get it out there easier. So they become easier and easier with that gospel plan that they spread. We understand that the gospel plan, that plan of salvation that God has laid forth, we cannot take it away, anything from it. We cannot change anything from it. We just be obedient to what our Lord has given us. We cannot turn from those things. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. Through 20, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." When our Lord sent them out to make disciples of all nations, He strictly told them exactly what they were to do. And they were to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Everything that our Lord taught His apostles, they were commanded to teach all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And who are we to take away from that plan of salvation that God has laid forth and that Word that has been set forth through us, through His inspired writers that we have here, that inspired teachings of God has given us. We cannot take away from that. If we start taking away from that, if we start trying to make things easier, then we have caused divisions. We want to remedy those divisions, and we must hold firm to it. We cannot turn from it. And we can have no name but a God-given name. We do understand what we are as children of God. We are His. And we look at and Scripture, we look at and showing us that what we are. In Acts 11 and verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was for a whole year they assembled with the church, and they taught a great many people, and disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. We are called Christians because we are supposed to be in Christ. And that's what we are called, from a God-given name here. And we seeing what we have in God's Word, what He expects of us. And that's what makes us His, by us being obedient to those things that God has set forth for us. We must realize that that is who we are. And that is where we must hold firm. In 1 Peter 4 and 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. We are to glorify God. We are going to suffer as a Christian. Maybe not nothing like they did when we read in the book of Revelations. But we're going to suffer as a Christian, especially if we hold firm to God, and especially if we speak the truth, even though it hurts. We're going to suffer as a Christian. Or we become kind of lazy in our teaching God's Word. We can become relaxed in teaching those in the world because maybe we might hurt their feelings. If we speak as a Christian should speak, if we teach as God's Word has shown us to teach, we are going to suffer persecution. But it is well worth it. We need to realize here that we cannot be ashamed of that, but we need to glorify God in this matter. We have no standard of living but the Bible standard. And I hope that is what guides us today. I hope that is our standard. Last thing I want to leave you with there in Titus. In Titus chapter 2. There in verse 12. I'll start there in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. We have no standard but God's standard He has given us. So let us hold firm to it. Because it is a great thing to be God's special people. And He has purified for Himself that very thing, His own special people. That should make us feel very special. And we should be zealous for good works. Because He has redeemed us from our lawless deeds. So let us learn to teaching others and teaching ourselves that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we got to live soberly and righteously in this present age that we live in even today. Let us continue to stand firm in that one true gospel. Let us always remember that we must speak of one mind here, that we continue to stand as our Lord would have us to stand. Stand with Him. We cannot go wrong if we stand with our Lord. Let us not ever turn and try to please men, but let us be trying to please God. I hope I've encouraged you this morning with a few words we've looked at in God's Word. I hope we continue all to continue to look to His Word, continue to study His Word, let His Word truly be who we are. Let us be that light as we let God's Word shine in us and show us who we are, who we to be. And as we go out and live those things and do those deeds and those things that our Lord would have us to do, we're shining that light to the world. So they, ourselves, we want them to be able to come and glorify our God as well. There might be some here who need prayers of the congregation. There may be some here who wants to become a child of God, who wants to put on Christ, who wants to repent of their sins, confess Him before men, and be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism, so that you can put on Christ and you can start that race with the rest of us as we continue every day to run that race to the very end so that we can be, as our brother Paul, one who is at peace at the end of his life, one who is willing and is ready to meet his Lord because he has fought the good fight of faith to the very end. I hope we can all say that, and I hope we can continue to encourage one another to do that. But if we can help you in any way, we want you to come now as we stand to sing a song that's been selected.